Maine Outdoors. From Rangeley to Eastport, Fort Kent to Kittery, the Maine Outdoors is waiting for all of us to see. The mountains, lakes, and rivers, the wildlife, and the woods are just outside your doorway, so get outside and find it in the Maine Outdoors. Fishing and hunting, winter, spring, summer, and fall. If it happens in the Maine Outdoors, they talk about it all. Just tune in your radio to 103.9. Jim and Paul and Bob and Matt are your Outdoors Hotline. Each Sunday night at 7 on WVOM. To find out what is happening, just listen to the radio. To the Maine Outdoors.
Welcome to the Maine Outdoors. Here's tonight's host, Jim Thorne.
Ah, good evening. Happy Sunday in April. Always nice to have a day like this in April. I say that today, the April is the new May, the way I see it.
I like it.
This year. April hasn't pulled any shenanigans like they did last year with that 18 inches of wet snow that brought down every tree and bent over every tree and half the limbs in my yard. And it was funny because last year when I was looking at that, I said, oh, we got through the winter pretty good. The yard looks pretty good. And we had a clear yard, and bam, we got that 18 inches. And all the, the pasture pines up back broke limbs off, and little gray birches and birches and everything was bent right over.
Well, I had tilled my garden right before that snow, and I got blamed for cursing the weather.
That wasn't poor man's fertilizer. That was rich man's. That was a double dose, triple dose. Well, good evening. Welcome to the Maine Outdoors. I'm your host for the evening, Jim Thorne from the Northwoods Sporting Journal. And if you're listening to us tonight, you're listening to us on 103.9 FM out of Bangor, 101.3 FM out of Augusta, and 95.1 out of Rockland. If you have anything to contribute to tonight's show, and I am wide open tonight for anybody that would like to call in on any subject, call us at 1-800-966-1039. 1-800-966-1039. Norm, I went up and did a camp wellness check yesterday. Drove up to camp. I have a camp up on Mattawamkeag Lake up in Island Falls. And I have a camp neighbor who's retired, and he was able to go up, and he checks, and he sends me a picture every once in a while here and there, and lets me know how much snow is in the driveway and all that. So I figured it was about gone, so I drove up. The road in was the best that it's ever been. We have probably about a 3.5 mile ride in.
Wow.
All the usual soft spots, no soft spots. All the places with the big frost heaves, the frost, all, no. The road was pretty much dry on the way in, and I had to keep checking, this is April. This is only April. So
pinch me, please.
I'd call it conservatively about 3 weeks ahead of schedule for the most part. And I drive by the little rivers and the feeder streams and everything, and they look perfect. All the ones, always associate Memorial Day weekend, right? Mm-hmm. That's always supposed to be prime brook fishing. Well, the streams are running clear up north.
Oh, the other day, there's this guy that I know and his kid. The kid's about 4 years old, and he landed a 15-inch trout.
Mm. Well, good for him.
Yeah.
Well, you think, temperatures, right?
Yeah.
Temperature is key. Too cold, they're not really in there yet, and then they're in there until it's too warm, and then they go into the other waters and find the deep holes and the spring holes and all that, but... it's a science, and I think the science is going to be a little ahead. So get ahead of your game, because the dates that you typically associate are going to be in the ice. That was the other thing. The ice in the lake out where the water flows out in the lower lake, the Thoroughfare River runs through that, from the upper lake. And that was all open, and I could hear the loons. And, you know, I'm thinking, geez, it's only, you know, what is it, April 10th, 11th?
Yeah, I promised to hold off on tilling my garden, so hopefully that'll improve the situation.
Well, yeah, I mean, the buds are, you know,
I was seeing tree buds.
Oh, out today, and the poplars were, you know, throwing their tassels, and the peepers were out early. Usually peepers are tax day around here, you know, April 15th, give or take. And some years the snow is still on the ground when they come out.
Yeah, peepers at my house have been peeping away for at least a week now.
Yeah. Well, it's, like I say, it's kind of crazy. I'll take crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not complaining, because it's a good year for it. So, and speaking of which, if you're in earshot, you're listening tonight, and you got a lake that the ice is out of early, let us know. Call, see how we're doing. And even up north, I don't know how far the ice out lakes are. I was driving north just above Medway, and Salmon Stream Lake was out, which kind of caught me by surprise, because I looked over. I said, geez,
that's what, about 10 miles north of Millinocket.
Yeah, and I said, that's kind of an amazing thing. Well, tonight we're doing things a little differently, and I kind of set it up with talking with Norm earlier. You know, we have many guest hosts that, you know, while Paul, I think he's back next weekend. All indications are, because he was actually supposed to be back this weekend, but he called me a couple weeks ago and said, would you mind doing the 11th? And even though it's Masters weekend, and I'm one of those guys that I was bit by the golf bug early, and so I love Masters weekend, and it looks like Hideki Matsuyama is going to win it, because he was like 5 strokes ahead with, you know, just a little 5 holes left. So I predict, the way he's been playing, he'll probably win it, or has won it by now. But
just got a phone call from somebody. They said they're expecting ice out on East Grand Lake tonight.
I mean, you know, a lot of these places, you know, they track when the ice out is, but that, you know, that's got to be something on April 11th.
Mm-hmm.
And I said the same thing last night. Because our ice was black, you know, dark gray, and moving around in the cove and breaking off. And I said, that's going to be out here in the next couple of days for sure, so, which is early for up there, too. So we'll take it. So I was setting this up with Norm, saying, you know, we have all these guest hosts that fill in for Paul, and different backgrounds. Greg Burr is a fisheries biologist. Bob Lehman is a fishing fool, fly tying fishing guy. Matt Dunlap, obviously, former Secretary of State.
Yeah.
Bob Mercer, you know, knowledgeable outdoors guy. You know, I'm an outdoors guy, registered Maine guide. I like to talk about all the things we can talk about. We talk about up north. We go out to Rangeley, talk to people, and try to get as many different aspects as we can. But tonight, you know, I want to emphasize, only because for those of you that may have been listening over the past few months, know that I am now a state representative. And before, I was on the Benign Marine Resource Committee. Which is, everything's friendly there, everything's good. We talk about lobster fishing, we talk about scallop dragging, we talk about Department of Marine Resources. It's very amicable, and we have nice conversations, and very bipartisan. So then they said, you know what, Representative Thorne, we need someone on judiciary. And I said, judiciary, how hard can that be? Sure, sign me up. What an eye-opener. And we are dealing with a lot of things in judiciary. And among those things that we are dealing with is a lot of the, I don't want to call them straight gun laws. They're not straight gun laws, but this is a very different world. The world itself hasn't changed, but the people living on it and the way they deal with everything and each other has changed. And somebody brought it to my attention the other day when, you know, I'm, hey, are you pro Second Amendment? Oh, yeah, you betcha. I'm Second Amendment all the way. Okay, good. Well, understand that the Second Amendment is an amendment to the Constitution. That can be amended. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, no, that's just not right. That Second Amendment says our rights will not be infringed upon. Well, listeners, listen to me. Our rights have been infringed upon and continue to be infringed upon. And there are activist people that are actively seeking to chip away. And you say to yourself, that's okay, somebody else is going to do that. That day is come and gone. You know, mm-hmm. Me as a representative, I'm one man, one vote. I'm outnumbered. I'm not going to bring up political affiliations because that's not right. And I welcome anybody with an opinion to call us at 1-800-966-1039. But what I'm saying is, if you are a gun owner, we can no longer stand by and let somebody else deal with it. With this day and age, with COVID, what's happening is we are getting all kinds of activists calling into committee sessions and speaking for bills that will chip away at that Second Amendment rights. And tonight we're going to have a couple people call in and talk with us about it. One's David Trahan and one is Representative David Hagen from Hamden. And I understand we have a caller. Caller, are you there?
Yes, thank you for your show. I listen to it every Sunday.
Yes.
This is the second time that I've heard a mistake made on your show, and I wanted to clarify it.
Okay, go ahead, Phil.
Okay. The way the Maine Constitution is written is that the Article 1, Section 16, is written quite similar to the way the U.S. Constitution is written, but it is written stronger. 30 years after the U.S. Constitution was ratified, they found that a lot of the language that was in the original U.S. Constitution wasn't strong enough. Mm-hmm. So when they wrote the Maine Constitution, they wrote it with language that is much stronger.
Okay.
And there's another section in the Maine Constitution that also supports the Article 1, Section 16, and that is the first section of Article 1, which gives you the right to protect yourself. And if you would like, I would read it for you.
Well, can you hold that thought just for a minute, Phil? We have to go to a commercial break. We're actually a minute behind. And I have to ask a trivia question because I want to give away a year's subscription to the Northwood Sporting Journal to anybody that can tell me what the earliest date ice out has occurred on Moosehead Lake. If you can tell me what the earliest date is that the ice out on Moosehead Lake, call me at 1-800-966-1039. And welcome back to the Maine Outdoors. I'm your host for the evening, Jim Thorne from Northwood Sporting Journal. And I understand there was a little bit of a technical glitch. We only have so many lines. And Phil, I'm sorry, but evidently when we went to get back online with you, you were gone. But you gave a lot of good information. Maine's Constitution, Article 1, Section 16. I suggest that folks really, if they want to know how the Maine law treats that, look that up. Maine Constitution, Article 1, Section 16. So, before we went on break, we had a trivia question, and the trivia question was, what was the earliest that the ice has gone out of Moosehead Lake? And I understand we have a caller. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Craig Williamson, and I'm calling from Surrey, but I have a camp on Moosehead Lake.
Okay. So have you been up there lately?
Yeah, 6 weeks ago when there was still snow up there.
Okay. Have you talked to anybody about how the ice is right there currently?
It sounds like it's breaking up near Rockwood, but still pretty heavy in Greenville, I guess.
All right. You heard our question. What's the earliest that the ice has gone out of Moosehead Lake?
I think it's April 14th.
You remember what year?
Oh, I don't.
That's okay. I'm going to give it to you anyway.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, if we had television, I would have loved to see your face right there, Craig.
Yeah, I was like, oh, thank you so much.
I'll give that to you.
I listen all the time, and I always want to call in, and I finally decided, oh, I know this one. So.
Well, good. Thank you. It was 1945.
Oh, wow.
And that's right. It sounds like you weren't around 1945.
No, I wasn't.
Well, that was when it was, April 14th, 1945. And just for S&Gs, what do you think the latest ice out date is?
Oh, you mean this year?
Since they've been recording it.
Oh, you mean last year?
No, I mean since way back when, what's the latest that the ice gone out?
I think it's May 29th.
Wow. See, I knew I gave it to you for a reason because you got that one.
So Mr. Trivia.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Do you know what year?
I don't know what year.
You still get it.
I'm just kidding. I didn't expect you to get that one because it was 1878.
Oh, no. That was before my time. Yeah.
Yeah, a few years, right? But anyway, thank you to Moosehead Marketplace. Moosehead Marketplace for that little bit of trivia there. I picked that up. So, well, there. Well, yeah, I think a lot of the snow is gone in most of the areas. Even up north where I was up in the woods, there was no snow in the woods. So it's definitely earlier than most years. So
yeah. Well, can I just address something you were talking about, Jim, earlier?
Absolutely.
This concept that our freedoms are being taken away from us, I totally think you're right, and I think that a lot of us are kind of quietly waiting to try to figure out how to wade through this. You know, mm-hmm. When do we act? I mean, I don't know, but you're right. They're being slowly eroded.
Yeah. Well, and see, you always the time to act. To answer your question, Craig, is now.
Yeah.
And what we're trying to do now is we're not trying to slow the time. We're just trying to slowly turn it around. I mean, it's ebbing against us. If you're a person that believes that, you know, the Constitution and Maine Constitution, like Phil said when he called in, is that we have the right to bear arms and that right shall not be infringed upon. Well, that water's getting really, really muddy now.
I completely agree, and I think things are more lascivious than we think. I mean, there are people doing things that are very sneaky.
Yeah.
I mean, we need to be aware.
That's right. Well, Craig, keep listening because the next guest we have on the line right now is going to further fill us in on some of that. And stay on the line because Norm will get your vitals and we'll get you a subscription to the Northwood Sporting Journal.
Oh, I already subscribed, but
then you can gift it. That's the beauty of this.
Oh, I'm gifted.
You think of somebody that you like that likes the hunt and fish, and you can gift that to them.
All right, sounds great. Thanks.
All right, Craig. Thanks for listening.
Bye bye.
Bye. All right, and we have another caller on the line. Caller, are you there?
I am.
All right. That sounds like the Honorable Representative Dave Hagan from Hamden. Am I correct?
You are correct. And oh. It's exciting to be on the radio with the amazing Jim Thorne.
Wow.
And company.
It's been a long time since I've heard that. The amazing Jim Thorne. That was since I left the circus.
Well, there you go.
Well, thank you for calling in. Our 10 minutes has turned to 5 minutes, so I won't take up any of your time with unnecessary pleasantries. What's on your mind when we talk about gun control in the legislature right now?
Well, it's a pretty serious matter, and I know that a couple of years ago in criminal justice on the committee there, they had 7 or so red flag bills. On judiciary, which you and I certainly serve with great intensity, had a few. And what happened was sensible Mainers like the amazing David Trahan and others put forth a bill a couple of years ago. It was called LD 1811, and it was these crazy red flag bills are just coming too often.
Mm-hmm.
They want to seize our guns. They want to take away our Second Amendment rights.
Yeah.
And this was an opportunity to get behind it and make some sensible legislation that will help people that are in crisis and help families and folks in crisis, help the communities from that, and also a great attempt to safeguard our constitutional rights as well as our Second Amendment rights.
Yeah. As a compromise.
It was a compromise.
Yeah.
You know, it was a bipartisan thing where both sides were uncomfortable the whole way through. And I think Senator Keim, who serves with us on that committee, was quoted in a local newspaper in the Portland area as saying the Yellow Paper Law, the 1811 was given the acronym the Yellow Paper Law, was the result of extensive research and a thoughtful collaboration of stakeholders such as mental health professionals, law enforcement, gun rights, and gun control advocates, legislators, the governor, and public input. And in the end, what we thought we had was a pretty good bill that would help people who are in crisis, who are at risk of losing their guns for not 1, 2, 3, or 4 years, maybe up to 5 years for a bad moment, as it were.
Yeah.
So this bill was intended to help alleviate this need from certain folks to have a ban of our ability to have the firearms and whatnot.
And basically, it brought it from 5 years down to a little more reasonable, and so that you don't do that. And then it also allowed that maybe instead of being put in an armory and left alone, that maybe wasn't moisture and the guns came out all rusted and need to be blued and everything, that maybe you could give them to a friend, a trusted friend that could store them in better conditions, right?
Yep, and Mr. Trahan can go in a great deal of more detail than I can.
So now we have legislation this year in the 130th that has come before us and will be coming before us, at least in Judiciary Committee, that kind of pigtails off that, if you will, or piggybacks off it, and maybe, I won't say further restricts, but from my view of it, it allows more people to make that call that this person needs to have their guns confiscated, their weapons.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah.
It undermines all the hard work that happened a couple of years ago.
And
it's a really bad bill, and it's hurtful for the people.
And what's that bill?
That bill is LD 1068.
LD 1068, that's right, and
that actually piggybacks off LD 861, which leads into 1068, which we dealt with on Thursday, you and I.
Yes.
With 861, and 1068 will be, the work session will be this Thursday, I believe.
Okay. David, thank you. That was an abbreviated call, but I certainly appreciate the good information, and I suggest and strongly urge people that if that's something that's important to you, now you can call in, Zoom in, write in, tell tell the legislature, tell the people making the decisions that are voting on it, I'm one person, one vote. Let your voice be heard now, because once it's too late, it's going to be too late. So thank you to the Honorable David Hagen from Hamden. Thank you for taking the time to call in tonight. And we will be right back after this short break on Maine Outdoors.
More Maine Outdoors next on 101.3 Augusta, 103.9 Bangor, 95.1 Rockland, the voice of Maine.
Good evening. Welcome back to the Maine Outdoors. I'm your host for the evening, Jim Thorne from the Northwoods Sporting Journal. And we were just listening and talking with Representative David Hagen from Hamden. There was somebody else on the line. Was there anything they needed to say? Or
Yes. Basically, you know, the concern that their hopes that the governor or somebody in some capability could bring up the turkey season a bit earlier, because the birds have already been very active, and the concern is that, you know, we could end up hunting the month of May for turkeys, and they've already bred sitting on their nests, and so the hopes, he was hoping that maybe somebody out there with authority could actually
that makes sense. Yeah. Thank you. We have a caller on the line.
Yes. Well, actually, your next guest is on the line.
Oh, okay.
You can go right ahead.
Hello, are you there?
Yes, how you doing?
Good. This is Director David Trahan. I'm glad that you were able to take the time to call in tonight and discuss some important items as it applies to the Maine outdoor heritage industry of hunting, and that is our guns, weapons. And I have to tell you something right now, David. We always have our eyes open a little wider every time something happens, right? And we had a benign bill. I said, you know, I read it and I looked at it and it had nothing to do. And then all of a sudden, everybody started calling in on Zoom and testifying. And what they were saying is they kept referencing this yellow paper law and blue paper law, and it you know, is very confusing to the person that doesn't know a lot of details about that. So, and then there was another one that listed out firearms, muzzle loaders, crossbows, bows and arrows. So, and I really didn't understand that, because they were trying to confiscate it, and we had State Police Major Scott on. And I happen to ask, and I'm saying this because it's all a matter of public record now. It's there, it's out there. But I asked him. I said, "Well, when was the last time you recall an incident involving a domestic violence situation where the guy said, 'I have a muzzle loader, don't push me'?" And he said, "No." He says, "I can't recall that." And I said, "So why is it in this bill?" So there's all kinds of things that are up there that don't really make sense to me, but yeah, they're there, and we're having to hear them and vote on them, and who knows where they go. But talk to me a little bit about LD 1811 that was in the, was it the 129th legislature?
Yeah, it was the last legislative session 2 years ago.
Okay, and before we get onto that, only because this is a call-in program, we have a caller who might have a question for us. Caller, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Lynn from Parkman. I had a question. My question was, I heard that they were trying to do away with all lead shot in the state of Maine. Is that a fact? Is that something that's true?
That is a bill that is in.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I might be able to help you with that.
Yeah.
And
I had one more thing I wanted to comment on.
Okay.
You got the president on, you know, the president of the United States is saying that gun shows don't have background checks. I've never been to a gun show that didn't have a background check.
No, nor neither have I.
So. No, didn't we have somebody a few years ago from the media try to buy a gun, and he went in and he got denied because he had some kind of record on it, and he was just proving that he could go buy a gun at a gun show? I thought I heard that from somewhere on the news or something.
Oh, well, there's always somebody trying to prove somebody wrong. So
right,
Well, keep listening, Lynn. We're gonna talk about your lead ban bill just briefly.
Okay. Well, thank you, and I love your show. I listen to it every week.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Have a great night.
Shout out to Parkman.
Yeah.
All right, David. The lead ban bill. I did see that. It hasn't come to us yet.
Yeah. Well, first of all, my name is David Trahan. I'm the executive director of the Sportsman's Alliance of Maine, ILA. And I have to say that because I'm representing the political division of the Sportsman's Alliance of Maine. And for nonprofit purposes, I have to say that who I'm representing.
I certainly appreciate that, and anybody that opposes us can call us at 1-800-966-1039.
Okay, so
there's my caveat.
First, your caller on the lead bullet ban.
Yeah,
I don't think that's going anywhere. You know, there's been a lot of talk about lead bullets and the harm that they do to eagles, but it's been my opinion, and I think there's only one state that has actually done it, and that's California.
Mm-hmm.
The condor, they were having some issues over in California with that. They were on the endangered species list. So,
right. But
in Maine, that's not going anywhere.
It's out there. It's a bill that was proposed. Yeah. They're running it up the flagpole, but...
Yep, that's right.
Okay, thank you.
So getting back to the issue you were talking about, the whole issue originated from Moms Demand Action, an organization funded by Michael Bloomberg. You remember Michael Bloomberg funded the background check expansion bill that our organization, along with the Gun Owners of Maine and the NRA, helped defeat a few years ago. They have this national agenda, and one of it is to establish red flag legislation around the state where an individual, without their knowledge, a person can go to the court, petition them, say they're dangerous, and have their firearms taken away. Well, obviously, we oppose that. In any American, you know, we have the right to due process. We have the right to face our accuser. So we say Sam sees the red flag legislation as unconstitutional, and we opposed it very strongly. We did work on a bill, and it's referred to as yellow flag.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the press called it. All the legislation does is it strengthens the protective custody statute that's been around for 50 years. Police officers, when they believe or probable cause to believe that a person is suffering a mental health crisis and they're a danger to themselves or others, can put them into protective custody.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, the so-called yellow flag, when they're released, they go into an outpatient mental health program directed by the court. If they're still dangerous, for a short period of time, can have dangerous weapons taken from them, not just firearms, but any dangerous weapon that they may be threatening to use on themselves or others. So that was the expansion that was made. What happened was, for months, my organization, the NRA, Gun Owners of Maine, and about 20 other organizations negotiated the strengthening of that law, including an expansion of mental health services through what's called telemedicine. Well, this is where it gets interesting. During that process, Moms Demand Action would not go along because they're a national organization and they have an agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And they fought that bill tooth and nail, and to be honest with you, I thought they used some pretty disingenuous tactics.
And this was just a Maine bill?
Yes.
Maine bill.
Group, yes. Yeah. In this group, of course, they want their law that takes your guns away because they want to take your guns away.
Right.
So we fought them. They came back this time around, and they're going to continue to undermine that law because they want the one with lower standards. Now, this is where, your listeners, this is important. These folks want to take away your constitutional protections to due process. And if they can't take them away, they're going to lower standards by which the police, the courts, and others can take your firearms away.
Right.
And that is what you're dealing with right now, is the after effects of that battle we had 2 years ago, and these organizations still trying to undermine and deteriorate the foundation that our Constitution guarantees your listeners and every American who's born in this country. You have a right to face your accuser, For those that are listening that know what ex parte means, that means that somebody can go to court and without you present to defend yourself and possibly petition to have your rights taken away. And we will continue to battle that tooth and nail to the end. But that's what you're facing in the committee now, and I am sorry to say this, Representative, but I don't think you have a friendly committee you're dealing with. Some of these folks were leftovers from 2 years ago that are still on that committee who know exactly what they're doing.
Right.
And you're going to have a battle. These folks, they want to change that, what we did. And in the words of the governor's legal counsel at the time, Derek Langhauser, who was just a terrific lawyer and just he's a good American, said, we should do nothing that impedes on the personal liberty of Maine or American people. And he said that several times, and he's right.
Yeah.
That bill didn't, and now you're dealing with people who want to.
Well, and it's a matter of public record. LD 1068 is an act to restrict access to weapons pursuant to the court order in cases of harassment.
Okay,
and we had a public hearing on that. And well, now we're going to have a workshop this week on Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, that bill is exactly what the folks from Moms Demand Action want, and that is a backdoor version of Red Flag. Let me tell you what that bill does. There are several orders that can be taken out. There's a protection from abuse order in domestic violence situations. In those cases, right now, and it's been the law for quite some time, a person can have their firearms taken away if they're accused or been in a domestic violence assault situation.
David,
and that's,
you've teed that up, and I'm going to leave it right there so that I can talk about general appliance at our 45 minutes. So I'm going to tee that up and let everybody think about what you just said, and we'll come back to that unabated.
Okay.
General appliance over in Brewer, Al Elkin, and he is your man with a plan when it comes to anything to do with gas appliances, gas appliance repair, composting toilets.
Right, the wave, baby.
The wave, the wave.
The wave, that's of the future here.
And anything else that you need, go see Al Elkin over at General Appliance. He's on Center Street in Brewer, Maine. He is 989-3141, and he can take care of you. Go see Al. He's the guy in the conductor hat and the glasses down over his nose. When you walk in, he's looking at you saying, what do you need? I can help you.
That's right.
That's Al Elkin. General Appliance in Brewer. And we are talking to David Trahan, the director of Sportsman's Alliance in Maine. And before we get into that, David, we have another caller. So I just want to make
sure.
That we can address that. You might have a direct question about what we're talking about. Caller, are you there? Hello, caller, are you there?
You can go ahead, caller. Oh, his phone just went dead. So
okay.
He might call back.
That's all right. That happens. So we're talking with David Trahan, director of Sportsman's Alliance of Maine, ILA.
Yes, correct.
And we're talking about yellow. Now, and correct me if I'm wrong, but have they gone from referring it from yellow flag, red flag, to yellow paper, blue paper? Or is
that just
a terminology difference and something completely different?
So originally the ones who called it yellow flag.
Yeah.
It's just a press term for what was a reform of our protective custody statutes.
Okay.
So I'll get to the blue paper in a moment. But when like I said earlier, we have a protection from abuse order that can be taken out on an individual and possibly their firearms taken away. That's existed for a long time.
Right.
Well, those situations are between people who know each other, spouses, ex-spouses, boyfriend, girlfriend, that type of relationship.
Yes.
Well, the bill that you have wants to expand those types of orders, protective custody, to harassment orders, which is, it could be between anybody, neighbors, people who know each other at work, or it can generally be anybody. That's what red flag is
that
anybody can take out an order on somebody they think is dangerous. And now this is the problem with that. as you know, people have disputes all the time over property lines. They may not even like each other, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But by expanding to harassment orders, it really is backdoor red flag, because anybody can bring an order against anybody at any given time.
Yeah.
And without you present, without your ability to defend yourself, without a proper hearing until later on in the process. And so this is what they've done. This is how these, you know, outfits operate. They have tons of money, they have paid staff, and they have an agenda. And they tell their people to go to the state house and beat away, chip away at this until we get what we want. And they come year after year after year. And I know, because I've been part of this political process for over 20 years. I served 12 years in the legislature and 10 years as SAM director. And I can tell you, as a Mainer who cares about these things, if you don't belong to an organization like ours or one like it to protect your rights, you're always on thin ice of losing your rights. And because we
can't compare bank checks or wallets with Michael Bloomberg.
Well, we'll never compete with the money. But I can tell you right now, they're told, you just keep, it's like water on rock.
Yeah.
It may take a long time, but we're going to pound away until we've made a hole in that rock. And that's what they do with your rights.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And that's what's happening here.
We have a caller back. We're going to try again. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yes.
What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yeah, Gypsy here, and I live in Lubbock Falls. And I had a quick question. Are they going to try to get rid of Maine's constitutional carry? Is that in one of the bills?
I have not seen that proposal. I would be shocked if they tried it.
Mm.
This is an election year, and it's just starting now. Our governor's up for re-election. The legislature, will be up for election again in 2 years. And I think it's going to be a very contentious election between Governor LePage and Janet Mills and Governor Mills. And so I would be very, very surprised if Democrats really took on an aggressive gun control agenda in a contentious election like that, because it will really pull voters out of the woodwork. So it's my feeling that we've got a pretty good chance of beating some of these back. But remember what, you had mentioned it earlier, Representative. You see this thing and it looks benign, the title looks okay, and you say, you know, what does this do?
Right.
Unless you know the history and what has happened in the past with this legislation, it's easy to slip something through. And your listeners, this is where you should be really worried.
Mm.
This legislature, the leadership, will not let the public participate in the process. They're using COVID to kick everybody out of the building and do everything by Zoom. And it's my opinion, even when you're in there in person, it's tough enough to know what the heck's going on. Try doing it without being in the building and talking with legislators.
Right.
That's where my biggest concern is. And yeah, I'd like to bring something else up, Representative, if you don't mind, that I think warrants, to be talked about.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most important things for gun owners and people who care about our country happened just a few days ago. Senator Joe Manchin, a Democrat from West Virginia, said he would not mess with or repeal the filibuster in the U.S. Senate.
Right.
Why that's key is there are 50 Republicans and 48 Democrats and 2 unenrolled. It takes 60 votes of that group of 100 senators to move a bill forward. That means that at least 10 Republicans have to participate. But for those that are listening that know how to do math,
right,
one of the arguments that the Democrats continue to use is that because they won the election and they have the majority, that their agenda should be allowed to move forward. And it's the excuse they're using to repeal the filibuster.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can do math. There are 50 Republicans and 48 Democrats. The Republicans are in the majority in the U.S. Senate.
Yeah.
But the way that they achieve their so-called majority is the two independents, Senator Bernie King. Sanders and Senator King,
right,
voted for leadership on the Democrat side.
So they caucused with the Democrats.
That's right. They made it 50-50.
Yeah.
So The Democrats never, ever had a majority. All they had was two independents and 48 Democrats to make 50.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kamala Harris, our vice president, is the deciding vote, which, by the way, was a running mate on the ticket for the president who was in the executive branch.
Right.
So even when you add her, they don't have a majority in the U.S. Senate. They still only have 48 Democrats. So their logic is off the wall at best and is very misleading to the American people.
I know, and there's I can tell there's listeners out there that are adding a couple Republicans on the other hand to that number.
it's bizarre to me that the
knee-jerk reaction.
Well, I'm not going to touch that, but I'll tell you.
Yeah, I know.
It's amazing to me that Democrats know that they're in the minority. There's more Republicans than Democrats.
Yeah.
But they're claiming that they should have a free path to push their agenda.
Yeah.
That would be the same as you as Republicans in the Maine legislature saying, we want to use the rules to mm-hmm. push our agenda, even though you're in the minority. That's not the way it works.
Right. And my whole premise of having this discussion tonight is that we, you know, this is the Maine Outdoors. We're talking about hunting and fishing. Hunting is half of the Maine Outdoors.
Sure it is.
And I want everyone to know, and you know, the more you know, the more you see, and you're more aware of how the process is going to do that. And it's, I really don't know a good analogy, but it's kind of like water chipping away at a beaver dam.
Mm.
I mean, we're the beavers that are trying to bring mud and the water going through is trying to chip away at our constitutional rights for weapons. And we use those to hunt, to fish. I mean, not to fish. Well, some people do use their bow and arrow to fish. I've seen it on TV.
I've seen that too.
But my point is, the time of standing by and having somebody say, oh, you should do something about that's over. You need to get involved now because there are so many activists that are involved and so much money involved in doing nothing more than wanting to take our right to bear arms away. And it's a serious, it's hitting the fan right now. And we need to speak up. We need to testify. We need to become, you know, I told somebody the other day, I said, you know, write a letter and send it and say, I want to, you know, get the LD number, look it up, write a letter. You don't have to be a lawyer. You don't have to do anything other than I'm writing in opposition of this LD 1068. I think it's a horrible idea.
Well, the value is the contact.
Yeah.
It has an impact.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, a lot of people have become so, I don't know, so, the word I'm looking for, that they just don't believe that they're going to be heard.
In other words, that's why I did what I did and I ran for legislature, because I was tired of standing around and not doing anything. And you know, I testified. You were up there one time. And I testified on, you know, and it kind of put me in a compromising situation, because it was at IF&W and it was a kind of trying to give veterans a privilege or a right, but it was, I thought, it was a something requiring them to do something that me as a veteran, I said, no, I'm okay with, you know, having to take a safety course if I'm required to take a safety course, because safety is paramount, and being a veteran shouldn't waive me from the requirement of being able to have to take a safety course.
I remember that, Representative, yeah. And that was a principled position. People in rural Maine, I think some
One
people
minute.
Understand, but they... But they're a long ways away from what happens in Augusta, the political activity.
Mm-hmm.
You had mentioned activists earlier.
Right.
Activists, Maine People's Alliance out of Portland, is probably the biggest outfit, very progressive, funded by George Soros.
Right.
They're always constantly in Augusta, just beating their drum, and they have so much money, it's ridiculous.
Well, we'll play our guitars in contrast to their drum. Director, Sportsman's Alliance of Maine, David Trahan, thank you for stopping by. I'm going to go out on the limb and say that Paul Reynolds, V. Paul Reynolds, will be back in the seat next weekend. That's the rumor. Find out next week right here on Maine Outdoors.